Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Denise, how you doing?
Good. Good to see you, Tim.
Yeah, Zach, Z-Man's in the studio.
Yeah, doing great.
How you guys doing?
It's Friday.
It is. It is. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be getting down here.
No, it really wasn't.
Except for the giant tent in the middle of 14th Street I almost crashed into.
Did you forget the NHL All-Star Weekend is happening
well,
here
in
downtown
swamp.
St. Louis?
I've been in the swamp this week. I haven't been paying attention
well, welcome
to
back.
St. Louis, but I'm back, yeah. Well, I was worried about getting back.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I told Trish yesterday she needs a backup for the backup in case the backup can't get back.
So no flights canceled, everything was fine?
There were several flights canceled. Mine was not.
Oh, but, that's good.
There were some flights that were canceled out of D.C. yesterday because probably from where the planes were coming from.
Yeah.
Because the country is, we actually, I think, got off pretty light here considering what's north of us. I think north of us is worse. And apparently this storm that went through yesterday is going to intensify east of here. So I think we avoided most of it. So
good.
There's your meteorological
and much
update.
To all the children that go to schools dismay,
yes.
It's not that bad.
Did your daughters go to bed last night thinking that today was going to be a school snow day?
No, Mia seems to think that I'm good at calling whether they're going to call off school or not. And she was like, what do you think? And, you know, Mom. And I was just like, let's just say I packed your lunches.
They think you have some innate power. Uh-huh. You, like, know these things because you're on the radio and lady of the radio.
I can call it.
You could call it one way or the other.
No, it just really just when it started earlier and it was kind of that wet snow, I was like, I don't know. Because it was supposed that originally they were calling it for it to happen overnight, which would have totally changed, I think, everything and would have made a mess of this morning.
But yeah, the temperature
came
never,
early, and the temperature's not, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like 34 degrees, so the temperature never really bottomed out. Although, apparently it's going to be a mess off and on throughout the day. So, if you
we
can,
shall see.
If you can work from home, if you have that ability, I would suggest that today instead of being out in the slop. But, yes, I have lots to talk about. And not enough time. So we're going to need another hour this morning. Is that okay with you?
4 hours, I think, is good.
4 hours enough?
Yeah,
okay.
You're going to have to fit it into four.
I'll try to cram it in. Yes, I was in D.C. this week for the, I feel like we've been talking about the impeachment of Donald Trump. Well, actually, since January of 2017, which is pretty much when it started. I will remind everyone throughout the morning that the Washington Post had a headline 19 minutes after the president was sworn in that said, the impeachment has begun. So that's where it started, and there's been a drumbeat against. I think everyone's kind of given up on caring every single second of this, right? Like,
yes.
You all carried a lot of this, but I even noticed, even like ABC, I think, has gone back to Judge Judy reruns or something, because that makes more money than having people watch impeachment coverage.
I mean, honestly, some people can't flip by it fast enough. It's like, if they're covering it, move on, not going to watch.
Fox has put it basically into a, not even a split screen, but in like the small, I don't know, what's the term for that, Zach? Is there a production term for that? Like that shadow box on the TV, that side box,
yeah,
you know?
I'm not sure, but I did see that. I was at a friend's house, what would that been? Wednesday evening.
Mm-hmm.
And CNN was running it, MSNBC, and then, Fox just had like
little box.
They were
the
minimizing it, being very.
So that if something happened, they'd be able to bring it up. But
right,
for the
but
most
they were
part,
really just like
they're not. Nothing is.
This
happening.
This is how much we care about.
Right.
Yes.
So it's kind of like they've got the cameras fixated on someone painting a wall. So just in case a car crashes through the wall, we'll go to it. But other than that, it's about as exciting as watching someone paint that wall. And my point is, you know, Fox has done that, but so has some of the liberal media networks. Like I mentioned, ABC has basically given up and gone back to normal programming during normal daytime, whatever they run. What do they run? What do people watch during the day? I don't know. I don't know these things because I'm not watching TV during the day.
I am not either. I have no clue.
I have a television. If I'm stationary, if I'm in town, excuse me, if I'm at First Rule, I have a television, but generally it's on Fox or Fox Business and the sound's off. You know, I'm just kind of like just in case something like, you know, somebody declares war or something, you know. Right. I'm ready to roll. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so. It's like our TV out there.
Right, or these two TVs.
Yeah, it's like on, but you're not really paying
yes.
that much
we have
attention.
Two monitors here in the what was I going to say? The audience? No, the op- no.
The
studio.
Office?
I was going to say the office. The studio.
You were in the swamp a little too long,
yes,
Tim.
I was. you know, in the morning, we have Fox and Friends on Fox News, and then on the other one, we have the local Fox, mm-hmm. so we can see if there's anything locally going on. And it looks like there are some closings. You got the little bottom third ticker there, but not a lot. There's not a lot. I mean, it's just wet and messy and sloppy out there. So we'll catch you up on all that there is not to learn about impeachment. I mean, there's nothing new. That's the problem the Democrats are running into. There's no new news. Nothing has come out of it. Adam Schiff is reading his statement and feelings and opinions on impeachment, I think for the fifth time at this point. But we'll catch you up on all the nuances of that. We've got a big show today for Friday. It is Friday. And is this the last weekend of January already, or is there one more?
Yeah, next Saturday would be the first of February.
Wow.
So, yeah.
We've almost survived 1/12 of the year. How about that? I feel like we just had New Year's.
I always feel like January flies by after all the holiday stuff.
Yeah, kind of, because you're busy putting it all away.
Yes.
And all that. Did you go to Ace Hardware this year, by the way?
Did not. Went to, you know, a couple of the other home improvement stores.
Okay.
And
I didn't get
Kohl's
to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Neither
no,
of us
my,
were
my
here.
Mom and I did do our annual shopping thing. That just did not make the list this year, which is a bummer. I probably could have found something good there.
You probably could have. Yeah. I noticed, where was I the other day? Somebody had a, I don't know what it was. Somebody was clearing out the rest of their Christmas stuff, and I was kind of surprised to even see that. By now, they've got, like, summer up, you know, selling beach chairs.
No, honestly, you know? The day after Christmas, there was always already places putting up Valentine's stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It was, it may have been Home Depot or Lowe's. It was one of those. It was one of the big box construction stores, mm-hmm. you know. And I it kind of caught me off guard because I walked in. They were, like, 75% off Christmas. I was like, I can't believe you're still doing that.
Yes, you
know? You
have actually anything left. Usually, it should be, like, 90% off at this
usually
point.
That's up before Halloween. And then it's gone,
yeah.
like by January 1st. But so we're gonna replay State Representative Justin Hill at 5:35. I didn't. So when I'm on the road, I generally stream us on the radio.com app, which
as
is great
well you should.
Because it's very exactly. it's very easy. You know, it connects to my if I've got little headphones on or whatever, that connects. The app works really well. It's got that. What freaks me out though is that rewind feature because sometimes I'll like. I'll pull it up and it'll be for my last listen to it, but it'll be in the middle of the day and Mark's still talking. I'm like, boy, the show went long today. They're on hour 7. But no, it's got that rewind feature or that pause. It's basically a DVR, you know, mm-hmm. the little radio.com app. So I didn't quite hear all of this. So I'm interested to hearing all that Justin was talking about yesterday regarding criminal justice issues, right? Was what they talked mm-hmm. about yesterday. So you'll hear that at 5:35. We got some great guests as well today. Bill Pasco will join us at 6:10. He's the policy director at the Tea Party Patriots. Get an update on your money with Rasa Kay at 6:35. My good friend, Dr. Bob Onder. Hey, it's today is the March for Life. Today's the March for Life in Washington, D.C. And great person to have on. Bob has been a pro-lifer his entire life, not just his political career. He and his lovely wife, Allison, they've been very staunch on that issue. We'll talk to him about that and everything going on in the Missouri legislature. Jim Carafano from Heritage, one of my favorite guests of the week. We'll talk to JJ about all things foreign and domestic at 8:10. Tim Jones in for Mark Cox today. It's the Mark Cox Morning Show. Thanks for joining us here at 97.1 FM Talk. We'll start this morning, as we do every morning, with our national anthem.
And I always get asked the question, well, isn't the president going to be stronger and harder to beat if he survives this? The answer is yes, probably.
Well, there's Joe Biden caught in another Joe Biden
probably
moment,
yes.
except that one was a truthful moment for Joe Biden. And this will make the president stronger. Anytime you deal with adversity and you overcome it, you become stronger. You learn how to deal better with your enemies. And especially in this case where this is all they've done. I mean, this is seriously all they've done. When they were in the minority, it was all about the Russian collusion hoax. It was attacking people like Judge Kavanaugh. Then they became holders of the majority, and they've squandered that opportunity, the Democrats have, because it has been nonstop impeachment from day one. I mean, there's so many of them. Congressman Al Green, Maxine Waters, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler. They were in search of impeachment since they took the gavel, and they just had to, they needed something to fill in the gaps. So it was like, remember Mad Libs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, those are fun.
They were looking for an adverb.
What's that again?
Yeah. So that's all it's been from day one until now. So good morning. Welcome to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Tim Jones in the big chair today. Mark's back on Monday. I believe he just wanted a little R&R, and I think I may see him tonight, assuming the weather doesn't have a turn for the worse. I believe he's emceeing the Hunger Gala event for our good friend Representative Adam Schnelting up in St. Charles tonight.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, Adam and his wife are putting that on. I had Adam on when I was hosting over the holidays on this show, and I had him on my show talking about that. So they're raising money tonight for children at need, at-risk kids, malnourished, or kids who need that. So you can check thehungergala.com for that. So what was I going to mention? I think I got through our guests. Well, you've got Representative Justin Hill up next.
Yes.
And looks like I may have, do I have her
yes.
on the line? Do
you
I
got
need to
old
go
Rick
to,
there on line
no,
two.
No, no. Look at our warm line there. Do I need to bring in?
Oh, no.
No, we're just trying for her. Okay.
Yes.
We may get a Fox News update later on. I'll just tease that.
Yes. So, there we go.
We're working on that. We're going to see if we can get somebody on about, give us a update on the ground from impeachment. I was there this week. It was really strange because the House is not in session this week.
Okay.
So you've got 430 some odd members of Congress who are not in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And that does make an impact because it's not just those 400 people. It's everything that goes with them
yeah.
You know? It's the staff. A lot of the staff do live there. There are a lot of younger folks who either intern or there are some lifers, as we call them, some career people who live in D.C., but they're not having to come into town, right? They'll either work from home or they're working mm-hmm. shorter hours. You know, the offices are basically staffed, but a lot of those, some of those staffers travel with the congressional people back to their districts and help them out with things back here. So a lot of them were here this week. Now, I think a lot of the Republicans probably went back up last night or this morning for the March for Life today.
Mm-hmm.
I know Congresswoman Ann Wagner is a big proponent of life issues, and she will be she'll be attending the march. I'm almost sure of that. I did meet with her. Got a chance to sit down with her chief of staff this week, Charlie. Charlie and I grabbed a beverage over at the Capitol Hill Club, right by the one of the House office buildings there. But so the House was not in session, so. It was strange. It was really surreal because you knew this was all going on, but yet all the people mainly responsible for it, except for the managers, weren't really there. You know, the Democrats who all voted for impeachment, they weren't there. And so you just had the Senate in session with the House managers. And I listened to the first day or mm-hmm. so pretty much, you know, as I was traveling that day. So I was able to listen to a lot of it as I was moving around, just had the headphones on. And like I said, I heard nothing new. I don't know if you talked about anything new this week. I don't know if there was any revelations.
I don't think so.
A lot of arguing about process.
Mm-hmm.
We've been arguing about process from beginning to end. When it was in the House, the Republicans didn't like the process, and I think they had some really good arguments on that. But it's so funny now that the shoe is on the other foot to hear the Democrats complain about process. When I believe the process that they eventually approved. And we're watching this epic battle between two wizened politicians, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, guys who have been around for a while, let's just say that. And you knew that Mitch McConnell would have the upper hand as long as his people were with him. And I was proud to see that even Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski eventually voted for the rules earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
So once you saw that vote happen, you knew Mitch McConnell was probably going to be able to move through this fairly smoothly. I think the only thing he lost one person on was Susan Collins voted no on one of the subsets of the rules motions, which is not going to end up affecting things. What's going to be really interesting is they're going to wrap up, the Democrats are, the House managers, and they're all Democrats because this is the only completely partisan impeachment we've had in our nation's history. All the prior impeachments have had some form of bipartisan support.
Mm-hmm.
This one actually has bipartisan opposition and only partisan support. I am actually going to tune back in and see what the Republican response is to mm-hmm. all of this, because it'll actually be the first time we hear what the president's position is, right? Up until this point, he's just been attacked. and they've had to and the president's folks have had to deflect. In the House, they weren't even there to deflect. Mm-hmm. Like we heard one side and one side only. The congressional Republicans were able to ask some questions and make some arguments, but this is going to be the first time that they actually take the dais and lay out points 1, 2, 3, whatever, as to what their position is on this entire thing. And I think
I can't believe it's taken this long to get there.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes. I can't believe that we've had to wait this long just to get the other perspective.
Right. Now, we've heard it in the media.
Yes.
Right? We've heard a lot of the folks like Kellyanne Conway and Cassie Smedley and Mark Lotter and the spokespeople, Lindsey Graham. We've heard their perspective, but it'd be very interesting to hear it as a cogent, mm-hmm. laid out argument, points A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. This will be the first time. And I think what you're going to see develop is this is a difference. This is my theory, because from everything I've heard and seen, this is a difference in how a president should handle foreign policy. I think it's going to come down to a foreign policy dispute. And the Democrats, ultimately, the impeachable offense to the Democrats is the fact that Donald Trump is in the White House. That's the impeachable offense at the core, as far as they're concerned. So we'll continue with that and more. Representative Justin Hill, State Representative Justin Hill, joins us next, talking about some criminal justice issues in the Missouri legislature. What are they working on this year? Keep it right here. You'll find out next. Tim Jones in for Mark Cox. It's the Mark Cox Morning Show. You're at 97.1 FM Talk.
I want to draw your attention to the crime problem we have here in the city. And for that matter, in other cities around the state. Why? Why is it that Kim Gardner's so ineffective? Well, there's a reason for that. She's not prosecuting, and then people get to the courts, and they're not being sentenced for crimes that require jail time, and that's a problem. We've got to State Representative Justin Hill from District 108 on the phone with us right now, and he and some other legislators are trying to address this issue with the Missouri Supreme Court, among others. Justin, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
How you been?
I've been great. We're back at it in Jefferson City, so things are starting to move.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm anxious to hear what you're working on in addition to this particular problem during this legislative session. But tell me, what is it about pretrial release standards that has drawn your attention so much right now?
Okay, so what I learned is the last 2 years, the Democratic Party here in Jefferson City has filed a bill each year to reform monetary conditions for the release of criminals before their trial starts. So us lay people would call that bond, right?
Yeah,
so,
bail.
Yeah, or bail, yeah. So they for the last few years, they filed a bill. It didn't get done. So the Supreme Court, under Judge Draper, decided to do it on its own accord and change the Supreme Court rules and essentially took language from legislation and made it law through the Supreme Court rules. So what it does is it changed the rules so that monetary release is the last resort for releasing someone from jail before they're supposed to appear to court. So essentially, it's no different than writing a felon a ticket and saying, hey, please show up to court.
Well, yeah, and I don't. It's like catch and release on the southern border. I mean, you don't know if they're going to show up or not. Plus, you've got some people who are a flight risk, and you got other people who have no business out walking around on the streets, right?
Right. Yeah, and it's ironic, like you said, catch on the southern border, because there was a gentleman released from a Jackson County jail last year, had several felonies. The prosecutor tried to make the case, listen, he's a flight risk, he's not going to come to court. The judge, under these new rules, released him. And guess what? A month later, he went over to Kansas and shot and killed four people. And they found him in December in Mexico. So now, had he had monetary bail requirements, a bail bond agent would have assessed the risk. A judge would have placed a financial burden on him to get out of jail. A judge would assess the risk and say, set the bond at $50,000, 10% authorized, maybe a $5,000 bond. And then a bail agent would be required to bring that person to court. But now the taxpayers of the state of Missouri have to pay to go down to Mexico and arrest this gentleman and bring him back to justice.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. So what's the weight behind the letter you sent? I mean, is there anything the legislature can do about this when the other branch of government takes that kind of action?
Well, first off, they violated the separation of powers. I mean, it was blatant. They tried to pass it a law for 2 years, and then the judge said, you know what, we're going to pass the law.
We're just going to do it. Yeah.
Now, I have serious concerns with that. Number two, all Missouri counties are having problems with and now having to go find felons. It's enough to investigate them and arrest them, but now they have to go get them again, and they're nowhere to be found. And so now all the sheriffs across the state are really, really, they don't know what to do. Their hands are tied. So they're talking to their lawmakers. And I started to go talk to some of my colleagues. And literally, they're telling me, is this about that bail rule change? I mean, everybody knows about it in rural Missouri. And so in a matter of an hour, I got 82 signatures from fellow lawmakers in the House of Representatives, which ironically is enough to pass a bill.
Yeah.
I got them to sign that letter to send it to the Supreme Court saying, hey, you need to get rid of these rules, come to the table, and let's talk about reforms that don't put the public in danger.
Good for you. I mean, in a larger sense, this is what we're dealing with here in the city, where Kim Gardner has decided her criminal justice reform platform means ignoring laws she doesn't like instead of going to Jeff City and trying to change those laws.
Right. And if you just look at what's going on in New York right now, New York actually did this by statute. They're a Democrat-controlled House and Senate. We are Republican-controlled. They did it by statute. Governor Cuomo signed the bill. And in a matter of 24 to 48 hours, there was a Facebook page created in New York. They had 100,000 members. I don't know what it is now. But Cuomo said, you know, obviously we didn't get it right. We'll come back to the table next session and fix it. But I mean, even their own admission, they said this is not the way to go.
Yeah, but it's a great point. Well, Justin, keep us up to date on that. I'd love to know what their reaction is and whether or not you guys are going to get anything done on that in the legislature this year.
Well, thanks, Mark. I look forward to talking to you again about it.
We'll do it. We'll get you in here in the studio maybe on a Friday when you're back from Jeff City. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, sir. Thank you. Justin Hill there, District 108, at Hill for Missouri on Twitter if you want to follow him there. State Representative Justin Hill. Interesting stuff. Who knew they'd done that? And thank goodness that they're drawing our attention to that. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. That's just a problem. Bail and bond exist for a reason, not to put the finger on anybody, but to keep you accountable for the charges you've been charged with.
You're hearing, you know, video clips of testimony. We've got lawyers that are going to be put forward when our side of the case goes that represents multiple schools of thought on what is and is not an impeachable offense. But they have one thing in common, that the actions alleged and the actions of the president do not reach that level, no matter which school of thought you're on.
Yeah, that was Jay Sekulow. Get to him in a second. This is not Mark Cox Morning Show music. Denise won the quiz.
Do not be fooled. No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
Nope.
So why are you...
We played.
We
played his music yesterday.
Okay,
he's not here, so he wouldn't be able to enjoy.
So
it.
You yes. get your music, which is a lot of well, my we, music today.
Exactly. I figured it's fair game. Friday can be, you know, some stuff I like, some stuff you like, and that's pretty much on the same page.
I was listening to the quiz, but I was doing something else at the same time, so I thought you won. But
Mark has gotten better at playing the game, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think there's a scandal.
It's always very close.
There's a scandal involved here because I've noticed his skills on this. He'll be like, "Well, yeah, I heard that story," and I'm like, "Wait a minute. You've heard a lot of these stories."
Yeah.
And that's what's hard about making the quiz is because Mark obviously reads lots of headlines.
He does.
Know, during show
so it's
prep
not
and
a fair fight because he, you know, as much as all of us pay attention, he gets in the weeds with some of the stories more than Trisha mm-hmm. and I do.
Sounds like a scandal of epic proportions.
I will say, though, that Denise still has by far the most wins.
I've not started 2020 off very well, though, so I need to pick it up.
Right.
I'm glad we're all saying this when Mark has no microphone and is ready. This is great. It's the sound of one hand clapping.
Yeah.
I saw a story. So remember the doomsday clock?
I just saw something about
that. Did you see
that? I didn't read the story
so
yet. But
doomsday clock moved 20 seconds closer to catastrophe. Now, what does that mean? I don't know what any of that.
Why was it reset?
I don't understand. I don't understand anything about the headline. I mean, I know I've heard the phrase "doomsday clock" before, but is somebody does somebody know when this all ends? And they haven't told us. Let's see. Gauging the dual threats of nuclear warfare and climate change. Oh, for the love of all things, the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists announced on Thursday that the minute hand on the metaphorical doomsday clock, okay, so this is all imaginary.
This is all, right. Okay, yeah, made up.
Has been moved forward to 100 seconds before midnight, the closest it has come to signaling a global meltdown.
And who gets to make this decision? Like, who's in charge of this phony baloney stuff?
A bunch of world leaders who are probably left-wing eco-terrorists and Nobel laureates, like Barack Obama, who got a Nobel Peace Prize for walking in the door at 1600 Pennsylvania, announced they're the people. Those are the people. The world is now closer to an apocalyptic meltdown with the recalibration of the doomsday clock. They probably did it this week in light of the fact that they're all over. Where else but on the planet Earth could you have these bizarre paradoxical things happening at the same time, where you have a group of people assembling in Davos, Switzerland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, they flew there on a lot of very expensive hardware known as private jets.
Yes.
Okay, the environmental footprint,
carbon footprint.
What was the carbon footprint for the travel to Davos?
Incredibly
I'd love to
high.
See that, right?
Yes.
And how about every single day they're there? You know, dining on steak and lobster and caviar and whatever else they do at these hoi polloi upper-level conferences. I get to go to a lot of nice conferences, I'll admit. I get to hang out with governors and attorney generals and all that. We go to nice places here in the United States. But these are beyond that, right? Mm-hmm. This is like the creme de la creme. And so where else do you get a bunch of people who are getting together to talk about the global economy, right? And so they should mainly be free market people. But they're all successful, and they're all at Davos because of free market capitalism. But they want socialism to be the next new great thing that we embrace. It's just so moronic, you know, isn't it? And they got that goofy Greta Thunberg up there with Al Gore. You're Al Gore. I heard on the way in this morning, he was ranting and raving about something. Didn't he predict that the planet was supposed to like burn up and blow up like 10 years ago? Like
yeah,
when he
I'm
made his
sure.
original
I don't remember
predictions.
What his time frame was, but yeah.
That was
I'm
a
sure
movie.
He just can make adjustments too, like you can to the doomsday clock, mm-hmm. just whenever like, you feel like it.
Inconvenient Truth. That was his great movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Facts are inconvenient to Al Gore. That's what's inconvenient to Al Gore. Why is Al Gore still around, you know?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Isn't he also
well,
like
he thinks he's relevant.
He's also like
so
a
every
thousand
now and then
pounds. He's like a big fat frog, you know? So I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm getting mean before 6 a.m.
Wow. Let's see what the next 3 hours bring. You're already like
spicy.
A big fat frog.
Spicy. Let's see what old Rick's been hanging on for a while. Hey, old Rick, good morning. Welcome to the Mark Cox Morning Show. You're on the air.
Well, yeah, I say Mr. Cox is sounding a little rough this morning.
Well, it's because it's not him.
Okay, you can do a good imitation maybe.
Rick, what's on your mind today? Go ahead. You got 1 minute.
Yeah. Yeah, not four, but one. Okay, we'll squeeze it. You all were talking about doomsday clock.
Yes.
I go on the computer and look up the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists on that. That started back in the 1950s sometime. I'd do it, but there ain't no internet coming down the pipeline this morning. And also, for any of you all having to run around the ice and snow, a lot of the vehicles got automatic transmissions, but to help a lot of them, when you put it in second gear, they'll take off in second gear so they don't break loose as easy. And also, there's a thing on them called traction control.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having trouble making it uphill, try turning off the traction control, which is usually a little button with sort of a picture of a car and squiggly lines on that. And throw a little sand or maybe kitty litter or something in mm-hmm. your vehicle to keep it handy for if you're having trouble.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Snow driving tips from old Rick this morning. Hey, Rick.
Okay.
Hey, Rick, we got to run. Thanks so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. Snow driving tips. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you know? Can use those. But it's not that snowy, really.
It's not that bad. No.
Being educated by old Rick.
Yeah, that's right. Rick's a great American. He was a veteran. And sometimes he'll call me from like Argentina or something because he kind of like rolls around the world now. So
wow.
Yeah, he's a very dedicated listener. So mm-hmm.
We love that.
We appreciate him listening. We've got the first hour almost in the can here, but we'll be back at 6:10 with Bill Pasco, policy director at the Tea Party Patriots. Bill is going to bring us up to speed on what they're working on. I think they're at TP Patriots on Twitter. Rasa K, also around 6:35, bring us update on the markets and your money. Dr. Bob Onder at 7:10. Rachel Sutherland from Fox News, give us a full impeachment update from the swamp. Tim Jones in for Mark Cox, Mark Cox Morning Show. Oh, and last but not least at all, Jim Carafano. He'll bring us up to speed. I'm going to ask him about the doomsday clock. Mm-hmm. I bet JJ knows all about
the
doomsday
everything.
Clock. He's going to tell us what that metaphorical clock really means and why we've stepped 100 seconds closer to complete and utter Armageddon. That's
yes.
Right. We'll be back right after this here at 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.